Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists.
Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
You are listening to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show, and I am Rahasia Uncensored, where we look at the world not as it is, but as we know it can be, if and only if we have the courage to question the answers we've been given. This is our world, and it's time for us to take it back. And welcome to another episode of the Spiritual Activist Radio on BBS Radio. And today we're going to be talking with Dane Wigington from Geoengineering Watch. And Dane and I have known each other now for quite a while. He came to my house once years ago and showed me some trees on my property that were actually dying and explained why. This was at a time when things weren't too popular to talk about chemtrails or geoengineering or aerosol spraying. And over the years, everything that he's told me has come to pass and then some. So I've been reaching out to other people too, and trying to find other validation to sort of help out with this cause. And one of the people I've always liked to listen to and have a tremendous amount of respect for, matter of fact, he's in a book that I wrote. I wrote a book called To Believe or Not to Believe, The Social and Neurological Consequences of Belief Systems, and how once you have a belief that's entrenched, we tend to filter out anything that goes against that belief. And I have a part in there with Bill Moyers and what he has to say about belief systems. But today I want you to listen to a little thing that he has to say about chemtrails and geoengineering, and then we'll talk more.
These days, what should be scaring the daylights out of us, the crisis which could make all the others irrelevant, is global warming. Get this one wrong, and it's over. Not just for the USA, but for planet Earth. That's the message that was delivered by Hurricane Sandy last fall and by almost all the extreme weather of the past 2 years. And it's the message from the most informed scientists in the world. They're scared, for real. And they say that unless we slow the release of global emissions from fossil fuels, slow it enough to keep the planet's temperature from rising by 2 degrees Celsius or 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit, the Earth's polar ice sheets will melt away with catastrophic consequences. Time's running out. Recently, not one but two major scientific reports have concluded that the rapid increase in fossil fuel emissions makes that increase of 2 degrees Celsius all but inevitable. This headline in the National Journal spells it out. It's already too late to stop climate change. So, why isn't this planetary emergency on every politician's mind? Why are any of us still silent?
Well, if you ask me, that's a pretty good question he's asking there. Why isn't more congressmen and senators and people in our government and world governments paying more attention? Actually, the truth be told, in other governments, they are paying attention a lot more than we're paying attention here. And I think one of the reasons is the same reason that it always is, has to do with money, control, and power. And these people are being controlled, influenced by lobbyists, corporate executives that just go through the revolving door in and out of our government. There's so much to pay attention to here, because if we really start asking questions and demanding some answers, we're going to find out that there is a lot of problems being caused by the geoengineering that's happening on this planet today. And it's been going on for a long time. And I hear people say, well, the government wouldn't do this to us. But think about this. St. Louis, Corpus Christi, San Francisco, cities all over the United States during the Cold War were sprayed with toxins so the government could see how those toxins would affect people. We didn't find out about it until years later through the Release of Information Act. But believe me, they're totally capable of doing this and keeping it a secret as long as they can. But now the secret's out. So now I think the question is becoming, what are we going to do about it? And I think what we have to do is get people talking. I mean, I could give you all of my opinions, and I'm sure there's a bunch of people out there that have different opinions about this, but they all lead to one thing. They should not be doing this, period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's not helping. This is all about militarizing weather control. You know it, I know it, a lot of people know it, and very few people are talking about it that really matter. But little by little, if we put enough pressure, enough consciousness on this subject, we can live up to what this show is about. And it's called Spiritual Activists for a reason. It's because spiritually, you can look at what's going on and you can see that this is a lack of consciousness. Now, when there's a lack of consciousness, as Einstein would say, we're never going to come up with the solutions from the same level of awareness or thinking that created the problems. So what is the solution? The solution is get out and talk and tell people, educate people. And this is exactly what people like Dane Wigington has been doing for quite a few years. And it's quite a project that he's taken on. Now, we have to remember that there's a lot going on the sidelines of this, too. So let's take a listen to see what Dane has to say. Then we'll get back and talk some more. All right. How you doing, Dane? This is Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org. And we're going to be talking to him today about chemtrails and solar reflection and trying to explain a little bit about what this is for the people who really don't get it yet. You want to explain a little bit, Dane?
Well, many people, again, have heard non-science terms in regard to what's happening in our skies. Most people have heard of weather modification. Most people understand weather modification is real, ongoing. But they're used to seeing the small prop-driven Cessna planes with some silver iodide flares strapped to the wings. Those are not climate engineering programs. We have massively, unimaginably larger global climate engineering programs that have been going on for some 70 years. We have the documentation to back this up. And so this supersedes and really negates all the localized weather modification programs because they're much, much larger. The science terms are very important if you want to introduce people to this issue, because if they have the science terms, they'll find their way to science fact and not intentionally distributed false information with non-science terms like chemtrails. The chemtrails term leads people straight to conspiracy theory and hoax, and that's what the power structure wants. So terms like climate engineering, geoengineering, solar radiation management, stratospheric aerosol injection, those are the science terms. Even just the simple term climate engineering or geoengineering, those two terms can lead to a mountain of science data. And what this involves, Rahasha, is the power structure has always wanted any means of power they could ever get. We all know that. And what greater source of covert power could one have than to be able to manipulate the weather? You can bring a country to its knees without ever firing a shot. And in fact, that's what they've been doing for many, many decades. And the population as a whole is still largely unaware of it. And we need to change this fact. So the major components that these programs involve is to, one, saturate the atmosphere with light scattering, electrically conductive, unimaginably small nanoparticulates. We have patents, about 160 patents for climate engineering that go back all the way to, some go back even to the late 20s and 30s, but the majority, of course, in the most recent decades. But these patents call for various processes of solar radiation management. That's a very primary component of geoengineering. And the stated goal for solar radiation management is to try to slow down the greenhouse effect that's happening on the planet, the buildup of greenhouse gases, by distributing light scattering particles all over the globe in the atmosphere to try to deflect some of the sun's incoming thermal energy. And in fact, for your listeners, that's how I became aware of these programs, because I have a background in solar power. I'm a former Bechtel Power employee. I worked on some of the first commercial solar plants in the continental U.S. I have a large off-grid home that was the cover of the world's largest renewable energy magazine in Northern California, is where my home is. And when I began to lose massive amounts of my solar uptake from whatever these aircraft were leaving behind, I knew that could not be condensation. I was losing on some days 60, 70, even 80% of my solar power uptake from whatever these aircraft were leaving behind. So that's the purpose of solar radiation management, to block the sun. And the climate engineers, the military industrial complex, never takes into account the consequences for whatever they're doing. So they've created a situation that's scientifically termed global dimming. And from science study, we know that 20 to 30% of the sun's direct rays don't reach the planet anymore. Rahasya, how many truly blue days do you see lately?
Not many. They're mostly silver.
There you go. And this is indicative of the particles that are in the atmosphere. And we're not guessing that these particles are there because we've done about 70 lab tests in Shasta, Siskiyou counties in Northern California. We have lab tests from other counties, other places around the globe. But the amount of toxic heavy metals, which are primary ingredients in climate engineering patents, that's coming down in our breathable air column is unimaginable. So we're breathing what they're spraying. It's contaminated virtually everything on the ground. And for people to understand the totality of effect from saturating the atmosphere with these particles, it radically disrupts the hydrological cycle, the rain cycle. It destroys the ozone layer. We have unimaginably intense UV radiation bombarding us now. It contaminates soils and waters. And again, the other spin-off effects from those three elements is unimaginable. So we're talking about the military-industrial complex literally playing God with the weather. Why? Because they can. And for those people who say, why would they do this? I would respond, why wouldn't they do this? Why would we expect them to sit around and ask our permission to manipulate Earth's systems in a way that gives them more power and control? Did they ask our permission when they detonated all the nuclear bombs in the South Pacific? No, they don't ask permission. They just do it because they can. So in a nutshell, again, this is the attempt to manipulate Earth's life support systems. And I think we can all understand the unimaginable dangers that come with that.
So here's a question for you, Dane. Let's say this started out as a scientific theory with even the best of intentions. One, they would have to keep doing this, what, forever? And two, I don't think they can afford this, or we can't afford it. So something tells me that greed has entered into the equation.
Greed is always at the core of the equation, in fact, greed and lust for power. As far as them doing this forever, that's what the geoengineering proposals entail. They state this over and over. Though they don't admit the programs are going on, you have the entire climate science community who's bought and paid for at this point from the power structure, the same people that print the money, the same people that run militaries, the same people that own countries. So the science community is telling us that if we geoengineer, as if we're not already, we can never stop. Now, that alone should be a red flag of the insanity of these programs. How can you start something that you can never stop when you can clearly not spray the skies all over the globe with thousands of jet aircraft every day forever? How can you possibly do that? So what we create is, in addition to the massive environmental cataclysms that I already started to outline, you have what's called scientifically double catastrophe scenario, which is what happens, because this is already a scientifically studied scenario. What happens when you start to geoengineer, you load energy into the system, you destroy many of the natural protections and processes of the system, and then you stop. What happens? Cataclysm happens. Why would we expect otherwise? And so the climate science community tries to tell us that we can never stop once we start. That's like telling a heroin addict withdrawal is too intense, so you have to keep taking larger doses forever. That's about the same level of insanity we're dealing with. If we're to have any chance of long-term survival, the human race, web of life, life on Earth as a whole, climate engineering must be stopped. And I'm not insinuating that that's our only problem at all. The human race has been unimaginably horrific stewards of the planet. But climate engineering, mathematically, is the single greatest assault against the environment, against the web of life, against human health ever launched by the human race. Some have termed it a climate Manhattan Project. And in fact, that's what it is. So the bottom line is, this is something the public absolutely must wake up to. Every breath we take is laden with toxic particles, aluminum, barium, strontium. Aluminum, by the way, is the primary element named in numerous climate engineering patents. And the stated goal of the climate engineers on the record is to dump 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the atmosphere annually. Imagine that. And we all get to breathe it. And the smaller the particle, people would ask this too, Rahasya, if they're doing this, how come the public protection agencies like air quality and EPA aren't sounding the alarm? Because those agencies are literally paid to hide the threat, not to disclose it. So the particles we're talking about in the nanoparticulate range, perhaps 50 nanometers per particle, are exponentially, unimaginably smaller than any particle size that's tested by air quality testing equipment, which is PM10 or PM2.5, 10 microns or 2.5 microns. So all this contamination goes under the radar. In addition, the entire system has been set up not to show this contamination. And we know this because we have a team of attorneys, including the top water quality specialist in the state that's working with us, trying to lay out a strategy that will make it through the hurdles that have been set up by the power structure to try to ensure that they can't be sued over this. So this has been laid out for a very long time. And the gravity of what we're talking about here, Rahasha, the immensity, the danger, the lethality is unimaginable. None of us can breathe without sucking in these materials. They're bioavailable, they're bioaccumulative, they're building up in our systems, and we're all on borrowed time at this point if we can't stop these programs.
Well, next I'd like to talk to you about the people that are starting to speak out, like the pilots, some of the scientists and researchers. So,
regarding your question about those involved with these programs, pilots, National Weather Service personnel, NOAA personnel, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, what are we hearing from them? And if we're not hearing from them, why not? First, we are hearing from some pilots, not pilots who are directly involved with the programs, because we certainly know that anyone directly involved would have had to have signed an agreement of confidentiality, which is unimaginably draconian and binding. And in fact, any who wish to see some input on that can watch a presentation with former CIA officer Kevin Shipp. If they search geoengineering Kevin Shipp, they'll see a former CIA officer describe exactly what happens to a person who has signed a condition of confidentiality and then tries to break that. Their careers are ruined, their lives are ruined, and if they continue, worse still. So it's no wonder we don't hear from the pilots that are directly involved or other personnel that are directly involved, but we are hearing from commercial pilots, former military pilots. I recently was contacted by two separate Gulfstream, the private jet pilots, and they fly some pretty elite people around the globe. And they were extremely alarmed when they contacted me because recently, on a number of occasions, they've had to descend from altitudes of above 40,000 feet because the temperatures outside were about 35 degrees hotter than they had ever seen before. And that warmer air did not have the density to hold that aircraft up. So the alarms went off, they had to descend. They're alarmed, and they should be alarmed, because the atmosphere is being treated like a giant physics lab. Because in addition to the toxic particulates, which I mentioned, those particulates are manipulated with massively powerful radio frequency transmissions. Those are microwave transmissions. What happens when you microwave the atmosphere that's laden with heavy metals? What happens when you throw a piece of foil in your microwave oven and turn it on? Nothing good. Why would we expect otherwise with the atmosphere? So the climate engineers, in order to steer the jet stream, are intentionally heating portions of the atmosphere to create high and low pressure zones, which spin clockwise or counterclockwise, depending on whether you're in the northern or southern hemisphere. They can steer the jet stream in this manner. So again, back to people speaking out. We have some private pilots speaking out. We have an former air traffic controller. I just posted a long letter from yesterday. She's starting to speak out. We haven't disclosed that identity yet. So we do have people speaking out. I'm communicating with a former U.S. Air Force Major General who knows about these programs now, was not directly involved. Again, compartmentalization. That's what we have throughout the whole military. So we have some good men and women in the U.S. military. I hope they wake up, and I hope they start paying attention to the oath that they took to protect the Constitution, their citizens from all threats, foreign and domestic. But they're being told what they're doing is something for the greater good. Just like the pilot that flew in Vietnam, spraying his comrade on the ground with Agent Orange, was being told it's for the greater good. that couldn't be further from the truth. So we don't have those pilots stepping out now. On the National Weather Service and NOAA employees, again, there's a federal gag order on all government scientists and employees, both in those agencies. So not only do those government employees in the National Weather Service, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, not only do they have no First Amendment protection to begin with, they now have a federal gag order against them. So it's no wonder we don't have a line of whistleblowers. And I think many people now know, Rahasia, I know you know, that the current administration has prosecuted more whistleblowers than all other administrations combined. I know you know that the mass surveillance listens to everything every one of us says. So the police state has laid the groundwork for trying to lock down this giant secret that's glaring in front of us. But people simply need to look up and need to do some research and understand you can't have what we've been trained to believe is a condensation trail. And common sense and reason should tell us we can't have a grid pattern one day and nothing the next. Common sense should tell us we can't see a trail coming clear across the horizon that just stops in midair and then a jet moves on with nothing behind it. And the bottom line is this, the greatest lie ever perpetrated on populations around the globe is the condensation trail lie, because all commercial aircraft and all military tankers have what's called a high bypass turbofan jet engine. It's a jet powered fan. 85% of the air that moves through that engine is non-combusted by design. It's nearly incapable of creating any condensation trail except under the rarest and most extreme circumstances. So the bottom line is, when we see any bright trail, even if it is relatively short-lived, it's still a particulate dispersion, period.
Right. Yeah, you know, I have a friend that he tracks the legitimate flight paths of commercial airliners, and he showed me where some of these chemtrail or aerial disbursement programs
I don't mean to be phobic about that term at all. I know what you mean. So.
They're simply not happening. And plus, when there's nothing in the air, what do people think? That they had no commercial flights that day?
Well, this is where the conditioning of society is so astounding, that people have literally turned off their sense of reason and simply believe whatever they're told, no matter how contrary that propaganda is to common sense. So the gravity, again, of what's happening in our skies, they're being sprayed with, some of these tankers carry 60 to 80 tons of toxic material. Can you imagine how much material it takes to block the sun over the entire horizon enough to lose 80% of your solar power uptake? That's unimaginable. And again, the particles at altitude, any particle, doesn't matter whether it's from a volcano or the back of a jet, creates a molecular reaction, a chlorine molecular reaction that destroys ozone. So we are now getting, we have a former NASA aeronautics engineer that's working directly for us. We've supplied him with very expensive metering equipment, and he is unimaginably alarmed at the UV levels he is seeing. And I don't even want to mention on the air the time frame he gives us if this current destruction continues. It's shockingly short, because we are right now, today, this is not off in the horizon, it's here. And we are getting not only about 10 times more UVB than we're being told by official agencies, we're getting about 50% of incoming UV is UVB. It's supposed to be 5%. That's 10 times more. But we're also getting UVC on the surface, and that's the last band of UV radiation before X-ray. I think we all know how bad X-rays are for us. So we're being bombarded with lethal levels, DNA damaging levels of UV radiation right now, direct result of climate engineering, drought in California. I lectured on climate change, global warming, before I focused everything on climate engineering. So I'm very familiar with the other anthropogenic sources of damage to the climate, and there are countless sources, and that issue is very real. But geoengineering, though it's been sold as a mitigation for global warming, it's actually helping to fuel the fire. So we are told, whenever we have, for example, the droughts in California, in some cases, some factors can be tied completely, almost completely, to climate engineering, and the protracted droughts are one of those factors, because a warming planet rains more. it must rain more because the atmosphere carries 7% more moisture for every degree of warming Fahrenheit. You have to have more rain on a warming planet, but we don't. In fact, atmospheric relative humidity has gone down. In spite of the planet warming radically, it's gone down since 1945. How can that happen? Because you have an atmosphere full of light scattering, sunlight blocking, desiccant materials that absorb and accrete all available moisture, slow down evaporation, because it not only blocks the sun, and blocking direct sunlight affects evaporation radically because direct sunlight is the greatest causal factor. You need light photons to release the water molecules. But it also stops convection, which reduces wind, which also reduces evaporation. So you have less rain because the rain is picked up over the oceans. But over land, these desiccant materials are absorbing moisture, sucking it out of the foliage, and creating even drier conditions over land. So the droughts, and if somebody wants to learn more in depth about this, if they just search geoengineering drought, they'll find lots of data on this. It's not scientifically disputed. So in the case of some things like droughts and the wildfires that result from the droughts, we can most directly attribute that to climate engineering. And when I say that again, I'm not in any way doubting or negating the other anthropogenic sources of damage to the planet. But I'm simply saying, mathematically speaking, the single greatest factor, if we look at all the peripheral negatives from climate engineering, the single greatest climate disrupting factor right now is climate engineering. About your question, Rasia, on these programs of climate engineering, solar radiation management being used against us, against populations, there is absolutely no question that's going on now. Not just against opposing powers to the U.S., but against the U.S. population, period. We have more than enough data to know that. In fact, I posted today on the engineered snowstorm that was just parked directly over the top of the Dakota protesters. Now, many people might hear that and think this is preposterous. Nobody can engineer a snowstorm. And to those people, I would say if you lived 100 years ago and someone told you you could talk on a box to the other side of the world, hold it in your hand, they would lock you up. The fact is that technology absolutely exists to engineer a snowstorm. And the same people that might deny that have no trouble believing that a single prop Cessna with a few flares strapped to the wing could change the weather. But somehow they don't believe hundreds or thousands of military tankers dumping unimaginable amounts of material in the atmosphere, bombarding it with radio frequencies. They somehow doubt that that could change the atmosphere. So that's just denial. That's simply a bias and denial. Regarding engineering a snowstorm, to those who have any question, again, I don't want anybody to believe me. I never ask anyone to believe what I'm saying. I ask them to investigate. The Chinese government openly announced they were engineering snowstorms. Even Fox News covered this. Anyone can find it online if they search Chinese scientists engineer snowstorms. So if the Chinese government can do it in decades past, they did $1 billion worth of damage to Beijing, by the way. The chemical nucleation turns what should have been rainfall into snowfall, heavy, wet, concrete-like flakes that do immense damage. So if Beijing could do it, if China could do it in decades past, do we really think that our military hasn't been doing it for a very long time already? And since they can steer the jet stream, they can park moisture over a particular region, which they did, and they buried the Dakota protesters, they just did, in record snowfall. Now, let's look at another comparison and say, is this just a coincidence? The 2011 Occupy Wall Street scenario. Is it just a coincidence that a freak October snowstorm also put record snowfall directly on top of them? Is that just an accident? I don't think so. And we even have, let's go back further. Let's go back to Woodstock. If people search Woodstock weather warfare, they'll find that there were some very articulate people there that had recognized the clouds seeding aircraft overhead that washed that event out. And we know they can do this because in the same era as Woodstock, we had Project Popeye in Vietnam. Project Popeye is a historical record. The cloud seeding to create rain over the Ho Chi Minh Trail was so successful that by 1978, the UN banned weather modification for wartime purposes. They never banned it over the country's own population. So this is all hard fact. And again, for those people who think that they can ignore this issue. And I know there's many challenges we face, countless challenges, and people think that they're going to elect this official or that president and somehow have a change. We have a system that's corrupt from bottom to top. And the system knows this is going on. The people in the system know, but their paycheck and pension depends on them not addressing this issue. And I know this firsthand. I've been in Lieutenant Governor Newsom's office, private meetings with him and his aides. I've had private high-level EPA meetings in Sacramento, spoken in front of the California Energy Commission, PARB, Barbara Box's office, congressman. I've made the rounds. I've been at this for 15 years. And what I'm told, what I was just told by a congressional aide in Sacramento was, quote, I'm quoting verbatim, we all know what's going on. We don't know what to do. And that's where we're at. Everybody's pretending this is not happening while the planet is torn apart, while Earth's life support systems are torn apart, and while the ship goes down. We have people in agencies that have not shown the courage to stand up and make their voice heard because there's no place to hide. For people who think that they can avoid this issue and not be targeted by the mass surveillance and just hide in the corners somewhere, if you think that whatever you're doing is going to save you from a ship that's sinking, which is the entire planet, you're in for a rude awakening.
Well, this brings us to an interesting point, because a while back I wrote an article and the front page said, humans evolve when challenged. And you said something to me the other day that really made me start to think, because I like to look at the financial thing, the broken government. There's all kinds of things happening on the planet, water supply, the food supply, the GMOs, but nothing affects everybody like this does. And if this was actually uncovered on a global level, this really truly could be the galvanizing aspect to collectively wake this planet up to what's going on.
Yes, about your question of this being the most dire, immediate threat we face, the most galvanizing issue that affects everybody who is alive on this planet, you're absolutely correct. In fact, mathematically speaking, we can say with certainty that the greatest and most immediate threat faced by the human race and the web of life is climate engineering, short of nuclear cataclysm. We recognize that obviously could supersede climate engineering at any point in time, but short of that, because we are literally, or the programs, those behind the programs, are literally tearing Earth's life support systems apart. And that's triggering countless feedback mechanisms that are also being worsened by other forms of anthropogenic damage. We put 100 million tons of CO2 in the air every single day. We're chopping down the forests. We're paving the planet. We're poisoning the oceans. Those are all huge factors. But if we look at the total saturation of climate engineering, the shredding of the ozone layer, for example, starts to trigger many other mechanisms. That intense UV radiation, for example, is killing plankton. Plankton can't take that radiation. They have to feed near the surface and they're being cooked. So plankton populations globally are now down 50 to 60%, anywhere from 60 to 80%, depending on the study you look at, of Earth's oxygen content is produced by plankton. Plankton are dying. Global oxygen content is crashing. We have forests, boreal forests, that produce the second largest source of oxygen on the planet. Boreal forests are crashing around the globe. Back to the drought, back to climate engineering causing the drought. A warming planet would normally rain more. Even though it's warmer, forests would thrive. They suck up more CO2. They start to help the Earth regain its energy balance. Now we have Earth in a straitjacket, a climate engineering straitjacket. So we're getting less rain. We're getting bioavailable toxic materials saturating root systems, which causes the tree to stop nutrient uptake, starts to die a slow death. We have UV radiation from geoengineering that's frying the trees from the top down. We have, again, less rain, and we have more lightning because we have an electrically conductive atmosphere because of all the metallic particles. And we have an incendiary dust. These metals are incendiaries, and they settle down in the foliage of the trees. So we have, from so many directions, the forest burning down all over the globe can be attributed to such a large degree to climate engineering. And I'm not, when people think dichotomously, they think I'm blaming everything on one factor. I'm not doing that. But I'm saying mathematically, it's the greatest factor, period. So now we have the forest not producing oxygen. And that starts to trigger all sorts of other feedback mechanisms. The soot from the forests starts to settle down on ice deposits in the Arctic and Greenland, turning the ice dark. Now the ice absorbs even more radiant heat, melting even faster. We have ocean temperatures now going through the roof, which is releasing methane, very important, releasing methane from the sea floor. that methane's migrating into the atmosphere and covering the planet like a layer of glass right now. It's happening right now. And climate engineering is making all of it worse, not better. So although they can engineer short-term toxic cool downs, as I just described, it happened over the protesters in Dakota, Occupy Wall Street. If you remember, Rahasia, remember the snow records in Boston in 2014? You remember all the media about the record snow in Boston?
Yep.
So it's a public perception. It's a way to confuse the population as to the true state of the climate. When they can create those headlines, the people that don't want to believe it's warming to begin with decide that, in fact, it must not be, even though it's 80 degrees in California in January and there's no snow in the Sierras. They look at the snow in Boston and think everything must be fine. So it's a psychological weapon as well. But the bottom line is, for all these factors and all these weather anomalies that are created in this environmental destruction, it's hurting everybody, everyone, everywhere, as you correctly stated. And if this is not the most galvanizing issue, if people really understand what's going on, then nothing is, because this is a fight for life. And aside from all the environmental cataclysm I just named, every breath we take is laden with these particles. And our lab tests prove that. Massive amounts of heavy metals that are the primary elements in climate engineering patents are raining down in our precipitation, which means they're in our breathable air column, which means we're inhaling them. And every human test subject we test, hair, blood, urine, are off the charts in these metals. It's affecting all of us. So this is literally a fight for life. And if we could expose this issue, it would be a paradigm shift.
Well, you're definitely doing your part, Dane. I remember 6 years ago, you came to my house telling me about the methane expulsion, the Upper Siberian Shelf. So you've been way ahead of the curve all of this time. So I really hope that this will help wake a lot of people up, because we need to start paying attention. We all breathe the same air. We all want our kids to grow up in a healthy climate. And I think this truly is one of the worst things happening on the planet right now. So I really appreciate your time.
I would agree. And
Sure, go ahead.
I'm sorry I want to answer for people the question of what can I do? Because that's the bottom line. When people hear news this dire, they've been programmed to feel helpless. And that's right. A mistake, because everyone has a tremendous amount of power in this equation if they would simply choose to use it, to learn how to effectively pass on information on this issue. And if we woke people up to this issue, they would wake up to everything else. They would wake up to the medical industrial complex, deception on vaccinations, and a thousand other issues. They would wake up, because they would know just how far the train is off the tracks, if you will. But on this issue, if you arm yourself with credible data and you learn how to convey that data without putting up people's alarms and just getting them to investigate the issue, if everyone everywhere would help to wake those up around them, those in their circles, so that eventually in some of these circles you're going to have military personnel whose families are forced to wake up to what their military family member is doing or involved with. And if all of us begin to wake those up around us, again, mathematically speaking, it becomes exponential extremely quickly, and we reach critical mass extremely quickly. And once we reach critical mass, once military families, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, once they know what they're involved with, they're killing their own family, they're killing their own planet. I would argue at that point, we kill these programs from the inside out. So at geoengineeringwatch.org, we don't sell anything. Our site is simply a data repository, a tool for people to use. You can download flyers from that site for free, print them locally. Very powerful flyer, color, glossy, visual, two-sided. For example, if a person has that with them, you can pass it on without a long oral dissertation. You don't alarm people. You just simply tell them to investigate, and you would be amazed how fast you wake people up, because most people are realizing something's radically wrong with the weather. So what I would say to people is, don't underestimate your power. Arm yourself with some data to keep with you. Learn how to share it. Help us sound the alarm. Help us reach critical mass. If we can reach critical mass, we can stop these programs.
Sounds like a good plan, Dane. Thank you.
Thank you, Rahasia.
So that was Dane Wigington, and you can find out more about Dane Wigington at www.geoengineeringwatch.org. And there's a tremendous amount of information there that would really be helpful for you, with really good links and more good videos from Dane. And Dane's going to be giving talks all the time, so you can keep up with some of his talks. He lives up close to Reading, does most of his talking up there, but he's all over the place with this. Now, there's another part of the subject that we touched on earlier that I'm really curious, and I know this is one of the questions I get. Why are the governments of this world being so secretive about this? Why don't they want this information to really come out big time? So there's a guy, his name is Kevin Galilei. He lives in Brussels, and he's done quite a bit of research on exactly why this is. And I think I'll let him say exactly what he has to say about this right now.
Why are chemtrails being denied? This is a question that begs to be answered. They are denied because they violate several international conventions and the legal codes of every nation on Earth. How do they violate the legal codes of every nation on Earth? By bypassing democratic checks and balances to be done in secret without people's knowledge and consent. If they're not a defense measure, why are chemtrails being kept secret? Why can governments know about the true purpose of chemtrails but not people? The only rational explanation is that they serve a depopulation purpose, in addition to being a climate change mitigation measure. And since governments are supposed to protect the lives of its citizens and not destroy them, chemtrails need to be kept secret and denied. So much for national legal codes. But what about international conventions? What international conventions do chemtrails violate? I have identified five. First, the Basel Convention, which entered into force in 1992, and 184 nations are signatories to, including the European Union, but excluding the US, which never ratified the Basel Convention. The full name of this convention is the Basel Convention on the Control of Transboundary Movements of Hazardous Wastes and Their Disposal. It is an international treaty that was designed to reduce the movements of hazardous waste between nations, and specifically to prevent transfer of hazardous waste from developed to less developed countries. The Basel Convention is also intended to minimize the amount of toxicity of wastes generated and to ensure their environmentally sound management as closely as possible to the source of generation. As I have explained in my video presentation, What Do We Know About Chemtrails? The primary compound they spray on us is coal ash, which is one of the largest industrial wastes generated by developed nations. Coal ash contains contaminants like mercury, cadmium, and arsenic, all of which are hazardous waste. The US alone generates 130 million tons of coal ash annually, and the EU about the same. Dispersing coal ash from airplanes at high altitude is a clear violation of the Basel Convention. It is also in clear violation of national regulations. In the US, for instance, the Environmental Protection Agency, that's the EPA, has strict regulations for the management and disposal of coal ash, or as they call it, coal combustion residuals, which is just a fancy name for coal ash, to prevent the pollution of waterways, groundwater, drinking water, and air. Chemtrails are a slap in the face of any and all regulations, be they national or international. And as far as the Basel Convention is concerned, they make a mockery of it, because not only are our governments not properly disposing of this hazardous waste, they are dispersing it above our heads day and night. Chemtrails also violate the Basel Convention because they do the absolute opposite of what the convention is supposed to prevent, namely the movement of hazardous waste between nations, and the transfer of hazardous waste from developed to less developed nations. Well, chemtrails stay up for days and are moved by prevailing winds over thousands of kilometers, ending up throughout the world, including less developed nations that never produced this waste in the first place and are supposed to be protected from it by the Basel Convention. If coal ash is not bad enough, consider also that it is not the worst stuff they're spraying us with. Aerosolized metals and nanoparticles, as well as Welsbach materials, are far worse than coal ash. Welsbach materials are also radioactive. Nanoparticles cross the brain-blood barrier, and aerosolized metals get into our lungs and bloodstream. The second international convention chemtrails violate is the Convention on Long-Range Transboundary Air Pollution, which came into force in 1983 and is intended to protect the human environment against air pollution and to gradually reduce and prevent air pollution, including long-range transboundary air pollution. Chemtrails know no boundaries because winds know no boundaries, and chemtrails are moved by the prevailing winds across the planet and therefore across all boundaries. Chemtrails, therefore, make a mockery of the Convention on Long-Range Transboundary Air Pollution, because not only do they not prevent air pollution and its movement across air boundary, across boundaries, they greatly increase both, and do so without any oversight or transparency, which is why asthma has become an epidemic, as well as eye problems, degenerative brain disorders, and at least a dozen other nasty diseases exacerbated by air pollution. The third convention chemtrails violate is the Environmental Modification Convention, also known as the Convention on the Prohibition of Military or Any Other Hostile Use of Environmental Modification Techniques. Now that's a mouthful. This convention came into force in 1978 to prohibit the military or other hostile use of environmental modification techniques having widespread, long-lasting, or severe effects. This convention bans weather warfare, which is the use of weather modification techniques for the purpose of inducing damage or destruction. Since the term environmental modification technique includes any technique for changing, through the deliberate manipulation of natural processes, the dynamics, composition, or structure of the Earth, including its biota, lithosphere, hydrosphere, and atmosphere, or of outer space, chemtrails certainly violate this convention because they alter both the dynamic and the composition of the atmosphere. Considering that this convention came into being as an agreement between the United States and the Soviet Union to prohibit the use of any environmental or geophysical modification activity as a weapon of war, it is no wonder that the Russians are not pleased with the geoengineering program. For although chemtrails are meant to prevent global warming, and therefore to prevent the climate from changing from its current stable state to an unstable state in the near future, they disrupt weather patterns and therefore alter the weather in the short term, possibly aggravating droughts and heavy rainfall unintentionally. And whether the damage they do is intentional or unintentional is really of no consequence to the people who come to suffer as a result of this damage. The fourth convention violated by chemtrails is the Convention on Environmental Impact Assessment in a Transboundary Context, which came into force in 1997 to force signatory nations to not notify and consult each other on all major projects under consideration that are likely to have a significant adverse environmental impact across boundaries. Chemtrails have a number of adverse environmental effects across boundaries, which are well known. What is worse, their long-term effect is totally unknown and could be disastrous. They could, for instance, change precipitation patterns or induce abrupt temperature changes when terminated. The risks are great, and we don't have another planet to seek refuge to in case we completely screw up the climate on Earth. No environmental impact could possibly determine what will happen if we interfere with the weather on a global scale, as the geoengineering program does. And of course, no environmental impact is possible when talking about a global project that is also supposed to go on for decades and increase in scope and scale. And the fifth and last convention violated by chemtrails is the Stockholm Convention on Persistent Organic Pollutants, which came into force in 2004 to eliminate or restrict the production and use of persistent organic pollutants. Persistent organic pollutants are defined as chemical substances that persist in the environment, bioaccumulate through the food web, and pose a risk of causing adverse effects to human health and the environment. 180 parties to the convention have ratified it, including the European Union, but not the United States. There are several persistent organic pollutants in coal ash, such as dioxins, furans, and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. And while we're being told their accumulation in the ash is not at hazardous concentrations, those assurances are worthless when we are forced to breathe in this stuff at all hours of the day and night over a period of years or decades. Such long-term exposure can only be catastrophic to human and animal health, regardless how low the concentration. If our governments were to acknowledge that they chemtrail us, they would immediately become liable for violating these five international conventions and all our health. That is why they deny. Now you know.
Now, I know that he touched on a few things there that we don't like to talk about. We don't even like to think about. It's called depopulation. And this is a very real thing that's going on right now. And actually, there's a good book out, Depopulation by Jim Mars. He touches on a lot of these subjects. Jesse Ventura has a really excellent book out that touches on this. And I think we need to think about this, because even the Georgia Guidestones, they talk about 500 million people would be ideal for the planet to sustain itself. Now, this seems like a lot of people, but if you stop and think about it, that means 14 out of 15 people need to disappear. And if that's not bad enough, it has to make you wonder who's going to be choosing these people. So I think there's a lot of things going on in the world right now to consider, and at the same time, not let it grab you. But we have to really attempt to fully understand some of the problems we face. Because if you truly understand a problem, in a sense, you're set free from it. Same thing with propaganda. Propaganda only works if it works in secret. Once you know it's propaganda, then it doesn't have the same effect on you that it would have if it was working unconsciously. And that's basically what this show is about. And you can visit more of our shows and more of what we're about. And keep in mind that this is a publicly supported radio show, and you can make a tax-free donation if you visit www.spiritualactivist.com. And all of the information is there if you feel so inclined. And thank you very much for listening. And stay tuned for more shows, because I have some more shows coming up with David Icke, more with Michael Cremo of Ancient Aliens, Drune Valo, a wild selection of people that have interesting things to say. And what's interesting is they're all talking about the same thing, but from different perspectives. So stay in touch and stay in tune. And don't forget to visit our website for the magazine, which is www.lotusguide.com. And again, Spiritual Activist is www.spiritualactivist.com. And listen to all the radio shows here on BBS Radio. And you have a good evening. Thank you.